Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tuesday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I am your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you had a nice extended weekend and you're ready for a short week ahead, you know, for work, school, whatever it is that you do. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do. Or if you happen to follow along the show with the show via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And if you can't catch us live, we're available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free. And also, you can write a review while you're on the show page and rate us from 1 star to 5 stars. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we'll do our very best to accommodate you. And hopefully Stitcher is back up and running for you smartphone and tablet users. And download Stitcher to your smartphone or tablet. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. And don't forget we have a Facebook page too, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. There you'll find previous show links, news and updates of what we're working on, and we'll also be turning it into a forum very shortly. We'll roll out questions and poll topics, which you guys can answer, debate about, talk amongst yourselves. We'll jump in every once in a blue moon, and that will help us develop a better podcast for you. Okay. Grammys last night. I honestly didn't think I was going to stay awake for the whole thing, because I had a rough night Sunday night, as you know, some gastrointestinal things that I was working through, TMI, I know, but you know, I didn't get much sleep Sunday night heading into Monday. So I figured, even though it was a holiday, I still didn't get much sleep during the day, so I figured I might as well DVR this thing, because I'm probably going to fall asleep like 45 minutes into it. But I ended up staying up the whole night, and there were some interesting things to note. That's for doggone sure. For one, Taylor Swift does not know when to let go and let God. That's something that's been painfully obvious ever since the day Kanye interrupted her at the MTV V Awards. What was that, 2008, 2009, something like that? It's been a while, but she wins Album of the Year, Deep Field too, Alabama Shakes, who we'll talk about in a minute, Kendrick Lamar, who we'll also talk about in a minute, and much more. So 1989 won Album of the Year. That's fine. That's all well and dandy. But then she gets up there and starts talking about, how people will try to take credit for your success and you being there and blah, 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 blah. And it was all pretty much a subliminal shot directed at Kanye West. It was painfully obvious. Even Stevie Wonder can see that. No Stevie Wonder can see jokes, please. And it just gets tiresome. I mean, you know, it's funny that, you know, Taylor has positioned herself to be like this, you know, powerless, you know, damsel in distress against the big evil black guy for so many years, and people actually still buy it. Yes, Kanye was wrong for interrupting her. Yes, he's an idiot. Yes, he's got some things going on. But that was 7 years ago. Can we move on already? Granted, Kanye hasn't moved on either, so I'm not excusing him either. But instead of just focusing on the fact, you know, that she, you know, so immodestly stated that she was the only, the second woman to win Album of the Year twice, why not focus on that? Why dedicate a lot of your speech, you know, taking subliminal shots at a guy who you say really can't get in your head, but apparently he's still messing with you. Just goofy. I have to admit, I'm not really a Taylor Swift fan, so. Best thing that ever happened to Taylor Swift, in my opinion, is The Rock lip-sync and Shake It Off on Ballers. It's about as far as it goes for me. Other Grammy highlights include Lady Gaga's tribute to the recently departed David Bowie, and Gaga went all out. I often say that Beyonce is the best living performer left now that Michael Jackson has passed on, but Gaga gives B a run for her money because she spares no expense for the costumes, for the stage. Beyonce just gets after it. She's a dancer, she's a singer, and Gaga really doesn't, you know, I don't think she's much of a dancer, but she can blow, and she helps her audience live the fantasy, you know, through the sets and the costumes and the makeup and the staging and all of that. And it didn't hurt last night that she had Nile Rodgers, the god, on stage with her, of course, who produced some of David Bowie's better work in the 1980s. And we also got a Raphael Sadiq sighting on the bass. But yeah, that David Bowie tribute was jamming on the one last night. So shout out to Lady Gaga. That was very well done. Probably the best performance of the night. If it wasn't for Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar, you know, he said he was gonna piss, you know, the Grammys off, and lo and behold, he pretty much did, even though he took out the Popo Gonna Kill Us Dead for sure and we gonna be all right. But between All Right and Black of the Berry, the imagery of, you know, black men being enslaved in chains, you know, walking through a jail cell and then breaking free, people didn't like that. And we could talk about, you know, the racial aspect of people being upset about Kendrick Lamar's performance all day long, but we only have a 30-minute show on here, so we're probably just going to save that for a later date when somebody at least moderately famous says something foolish about it. But you know what it is. You know what it's about. You know what it's about. It's the same backlash Beyonce had just last weekend with Formation. Black entertainers are cool until they remind you that they are indeed black and that they are indeed fighting on the side of their black people. That'll always be funny to me. Like, jeez. I love that Beyonce. She's such a fantastic performer. Gosh, she makes these anthems for women. She's all about women's rights. First time she does a video and a song about being black, I can't believe they would put that on the Super Bowl. Oh, my God. The police car submerged in water. She has no respect for our men in blue. Man, shut up. Nobody cares about what you think. Beyonce just reminded everyone with that video, mind you, that even though she's black, she still has enough money to buy and sell each and every one of your asses, and it really doesn't matter what you think about her either way. So, between Beyonce and Kendrick, black people are having the best Black History Month ever, and the others seem to be very, very offended. Not too many of us are caring, though. Also, the nation at large, read those of us who don't listen to rock music, were introduced to Brittany Howard's Alabama Shakes last night. Like, I didn't know that they got down like that. I really didn't. Like, I've been hearing stuff about Alabama Shakes. You know, they got this black woman, you know, that's fronting the band, Brittany Howard. They make good music, and I'm like, yeah, I probably should get into Alabama Shakes, but you know, a lot of other musical influences just kind of like, you know, got in the way. But that live performance of Don't Want to Fight last night, yeah, that turned me on to Alabama Shakes. I've been listening to the album version of Don't Want to Fight all morning long, but probably going to try to find the Grammy version and somehow, you know, siphon that later on today. But, yeah, Alabama Shakes is here to stay, at least for as long as they want to be together as a band and as a group. And Brittany Howard just is channeling all the great blues mamas of the early part of the 20th century, the Big Mama Thorntons, the Bessie Smiths, the Ma Rainey's, the Rosetta Tharpes. She's there. She's there with hers. She is there with hers. She even had the cape on last night. I don't know if you call it a James Brown cape, but she was styling with that cape and that guitar last night. Absolutely. So now I'm going to probably spend the rest of the week, you know, getting myself familiar with Alabama Shakes because, man, that was a life-changing performance for that band last night. That's for doggone sure. And The Weeknd. Yeah, let's talk about that guy. I don't ever want to hear another person. I don't want to hear another human being who breathes the same air as me. I don't even want your dog, you know, barking it. I don't even want to hear, don't you ever, and I mean ever, compare The Weeknd to Michael Joseph Jackson the King ever again. Not after that live performance last night. Don't you dare. Michael Jackson would have spun 46 times before he sang a note and still sounded better than The Weeknd sounded last night. Don't you ever compare The Weeknd to Michael Joseph Jackson in your life. Even when you die, I don't care if you see God at the gates. I don't care if you see Michael himself. And Michael says, well, you know, I think The Weeknd has some potential. I mean, he's an all right guy. Don't you ever compare The Weeknd to Michael Jackson a day in your life, in the afterlife either. He sounded horrible last night. Absolutely horrible. Don't do that again. I'm asking you, telling you, don't do it again. Don't do it again. Speaking of rough performances last night, Adele was a victim of foul play from the sound crew. Like, her mic cut off, like, early on into the song she was singing, and it just threw off the timbre of the entire performance. You could see it was really getting on her nerves. Like, she felt kind of humiliated and embarrassed or what have you, but the sound crew let Adele down last night. I think she gets a lot of press for being someone who's kind of like, you know, a soul singer, you know, a blue-eyed soul singer. I mean, she might get too much press for that, but I'm not saying she can't sing. I'm just saying that she got screwed over by the sound crew last night. Not a lot of people really sounded good last night. The sound crew for the Grammys was horrible. Was the workers union on strike for them or not? Did they have to get the replacements in? Because a lot of the sound last night was off. It was off and it was awful. Even Bieber, and granted, you know, people have been trying to get me to listen to Justin Bieber's latest album forever. And I'm just, you know, avoiding. It's kind of like when a woman curves you. You know, you keep trying to get the interest up and she's just like, we'll see, I don't know. That's kind of how I am with the Bieber album. But he did his thing last night with that acoustic guitar and, you know, the line that everybody loves, my mama don't like you and she likes everybody. That's something a lot of us can relate to in these here relationships in life. So, you know, I give the Beeb credit for, you know, performing and writing a song that people can relate to. But it was generally a good show last night. It was. I mean, granted, you know, the tributes could have been longer. I mean, Earth, Wind & Fire didn't even have a damn tribute. I mean, it was Stevie Wonder singing a cappella with some people that I had never seen or heard before. But granted, it's Stevie Wonder, who still sounds clear as a bell a couple months away from turning 66. And Stevie was fooling last night. He said, y'all can't read Braille. Nah, 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 nah. Only Stevie Wonder can turn an important Grammy category into number one, a clarion call for, you know, disability access across this country, which is long overdue, and make a joke of it. Only Stevie. This is why every time somebody in the black community that's a musician or artist or producer or somebody of that nature dies, we keep, like, wanting to put Stevie in bubble wrap. Because if he, no, not even going to bring it up. Not even going to bring it up. Not even going to bring it up. Not going to do it. Not even going to think about it. None of us should be thinking about it. So let us not think about it. Let us just keep enjoying the greatness that is Stevie Wonder, shall we? Touch and agree. Amen. All right. The B.B. King tribute was pretty doggone spectacular, too. You know, Gary Clark Jr., Bonnie Raitt, and I forgot, I think it was Chris something or other, which really is stupid. I should have remembered the guy's name. But they did a fantastic cover of the Thrill Is Gone last night in honor of the late, great B.B. King, who, of course, passed away not too long ago at the age of 89. Chris Stapleton, yes. There we go, Chris Stapleton. Yes, Chris Stapleton, Bonnie Raitt, and Gary Clark Jr. Gary Clark Jr. is probably going to be, as Bomani Jones said, the guy who we go to when we really need some blues. And I still would like to see Gary Clark Jr., you know, do some, you know, collaborations, you know, with some, you know, like I think he did a song with Big Crit before, but I think a Big Crit Gary Clark Jr. album would, like, you know, blow both of their careers sky high. I really do. Because Crit was one of the last, you know, new artists to ever work with B.B. King, because you remember B.B. King made a, you know, a guitar and vocal appearance on Crit's debut album, Live from the Underground, on the song of Praying Man. So I think if Gary Clark Jr., who obviously, you know, is influenced by B.B. King, and Big Crit, who worked with B.B. King, you know, could put their heads together, I'm almost certain they could come up with some funky, down-home blues, hip-hop, you know, rock compilation that would just blow the doors off of anybody else, anything else anybody else is doing right now. That's just my humble opinion. That's just my humble opinion. But the Grammys overall last night was a good show. You know, we had a lot of laughs, you know, on social media about certain people's outfits, certain people's attitudes, you know, the performances and everything. But there's still, you know, something that kind of sticks in my craw before I move on to our second subject of the morning and then our last before we sign off for the day. The R&B Awards just seem to get less and less publicity every year, and it seems to be less and less R&B. Now, mind you, I've done an entire show about, you know, the New Yorker podcast crowning The Weeknd as, you know, the king of R&B right now. And you already know how I feel about that. You just heard how I felt about that. But it's really disappointing that we kind of forget that rhythm and blues was like one of the premier categories of the Grammys for quite some time, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. It just stopped. Like most of the black categories, they don't even show on the Grammys anymore. I mean, you know, it's stuff like jazz, R&B, hip hop. Most of those awards are given away on a pre-show or nowadays on Twitter and Facebook. Not really a fan of that. If you're gonna do rock, if you're gonna do classic, oh yeah. One more thing about last night's performances. Hamilton, Trap Theater, here for it. Absolutely here for it. Okay, that's enough. Now, I'm just really disappointed that R&B really hasn't, you know, reclaimed the stage that it, you know, rightfully deserves. And a lot of that is because a lot of these, you know, artists are kind of bending the lines because there's really, you know, artists, you know, they either rappers who want to sing or singers who want to rap. And it's evident in the beats, it's evident in the lyrics, it's evident in the cadence. Nobody's really making like that true soul R&B anymore. I mean, there's not even a Quiet Storm program on 18 to 34 urban radio. It just ain't. Like, the Quiet Storm format has been largely left to the old folk stations. And even those kind of sort of, you know, have kind of been blurred over the years. So what happens to R&B from here when the only thing we can really talk about is guys making, is people making trap records or rock records or, you know, druggy records like The Weeknd. And it's just, it's disappointing. It's disappointing to see what R&B has become and what the future seems to be for it, which doesn't look very bright. But overall, the Grammys last night, great show. Nice to watch. We'll be probably talking about these same issues again next February. So let's see what 2016 has for us musically. And then, of course, we will reconvene next year, 2017, for the Grammys, shall we? Okay. Okay, All-Star Weekend in Toronto, Ontario, Canada for the NBA. The first NBA All-Star Weekend in the 33-year history of the event of the weekend to be held outside of the continental United States. And it was a success. There was nothing bad about the weekend. There was nothing foolish about the weekend. It was just a good time with some great events. And it was the light-skinned brothers winning the entire weekend. From Zach LaVine winning the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge, winning the Slam Dunk Contest, Klay Thompson winning the three-point shootout, Karl Anthony Towns, the first seven-footer to ever win the Skills Challenge, and Oklahoma City Thunder point guard Russell Westbrook winning the All-Star Game MVP in itself. The Lightskins won all weekend. But in general, let's just talk about the dunk contest, because that was really the highlight of the weekend, and it didn't start off that way. When you looked at the competitors, you had LaVine, the defending champion. You had Andre Drummond, the monster 7-foot center for the Detroit Pistons, who dunks really hard but really lacked in creativity. You had Will Barton from the Denver Nuggets, a high flyer, but you know he really got screwed over on his first dunk, which was a between their legs reverse, which really should have got him like at least a 49, but the judges gave him a 44. He was screwed from then on. His confidence and creativity were killed after he got a 44 for what is a very difficult dunk. But then, another light skin, Aaron Gordon, the second year forward for the Orlando Magic, he showed up and showed out. Two of his best dunks were used Stuff the Magic Dragon, which is the Orlando Magic mascot, has been for the franchise's 27 years of existence. But he used Stuff in ways that we've never seen a mascot use before. The first dunk that got everybody's attention. Stuff twirling on a hoverboard, holding the ball out so Aaron Gordon can jump in midair, grab the ball from Stuff, do a 360, put the Karl Malone hand behind the head. You got to be a 90s kid to remember that, and throw it down. Definitely earned a 50. And then the dunk to end all dunks, which really should have won him the contest last night. Standing underneath the basket, holding the ball above the Dragon's two heads, two arms, mind you, above his head. And Gordon jumps over Stuff, takes his seat in midair, curls the ball underneath his legs, and throws it down with force with the left hand. Mind you, Aaron Gordon is right-handed. Definitely a 50. We should have canceled the contest after that. We hadn't seen anything like that in years. But then Zach LaVine remembered that he could take off from the free throw line. He caught a lob from the free throw line from Andre Miller, threw it down one-handed, did a windmill from the free throw line, and, of course, his winning dunk, a between the legs from about a step and a half inside the free throw line. All 50s, all well-deserved. Gordon kind of got robbed on his overtime dunk because, yes, this dunk contest went to overtime. They were making it up as they go. It was sudden death dunk off. I believe the first time the NBA dunk contest has ever done that. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was one of the highlights of the weekend. You know what I mean? It was the highlight of the weekend. And the Kobe Bryant tribute before we sign off for the day was really nice. It was. I mean, 18 All-Star games, most votes of anybody. He scored double digits in his final All-Star game. I mean, it's cool. I mean, it was a nice send-off. It was a nice send-off, you know, of a guy who's probably first ballot Hall of Famer, without question, probably a top 15 or 20 to ever play the game. But the weekend in itself was just first class. Everything Toronto did was great. And that's probably because Drake was overseeing the whole shenanigans. I mean, granted, you know, we laugh at Drake a lot about being a sports groupie, but nobody really you know, could have pulled this off as well as Toronto did unless Drake had his mitts all up and through it. And he did a good job. The Raptors did a good job. The city of Toronto did a good job. There were no incidents of violence or anything. It was just a bunch of NBA players and fans and celebrities having a grand old time. And that's what All-Star Weekend should be. And that's what it was. It was very well done. Very well done. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in to All Subjects Everything this morning. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Tomorrow we will talk about, you know, the TV One Unsung episode that will premiere Wednesday night featuring Patrice Rushen. We'll recap the tonight's edition of The People vs. O.J. Simpson. And we'll also talk about Kanye West, you know, unfunny situation. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for tuning in. Y'all enjoy your Tuesday, and until we speak tomorrow morning, y'all be good or be good at it.
Yeah.